I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
6:12.
Okay. So thank you everyone for coming out on this beautiful night. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from June 7th?
Some.
Okay, does anybody have any additions or anything for the minutes? All in favor? Aye. Motion carried. Okay, we're going to do the resolutions quick and then we'll go through the rest of the agenda. So we have Resolution 265, requesting that the New York State Assembly and the New York State Senate introduce legislation amending New York Public Authority Law Article 8, Title 13G, Section 2050T, to include recycling material.
So we have to move it for the purpose of discussion.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay.
I'm going to ask that we take no action again. I've been in contact with Supervisor Quigley, and I'm going to meet with the supervisors. It's a process, and they're not in session right now, so I'd like to just have the conversation with the supervisors first, and rather than take the time in today's meeting to push it. But I do think it's something we're going to need to be thinking about in terms of long term. But we have the time to have the conversations and have everybody on board.
I mean, Tracy, are we limited, though, that in this resolution only to ask them to take out the language that's in the public authorities law? The mayor and I had a talk about it the other day.
Sure.
And we were thinking that maybe somewhere in here we could also put in the language we would like to see included. And what we're not seeking to, like whether it be scrap metal or composting. Because that seems to be the pressing concern that I hear from the supervisors.
I think that we can probably request anything, But
at least I think if we put in there specifically what we're not seeking,
it might allay some concerns.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
I think that's a good suggestion. So I'll meet with them all, and I'll definitely call the mayor as well because he's been vocal and involved in the meetings and discussions as we have these discussions on single stream. So, and he's also been someone that Mann and I served with on the Recycling Oversight Committee. So he's very well versed in this, so I'll talk to him too as well. And then I'll come back to the committee maybe with suggested alternate language and report back of what the supervisor said.
Tracy, if I just said, you might want to just reference the other counties that do the flow control for the recycling. It's pretty standardized language.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good suggestion too.
I mean, our enabling legislation is much different than the other counties. For instance, we're not civil service. It is non-competitive. There's flow control only on MSW. It's not on C&D or the regulated recycling. So there's a lot of differences. I'd hate to see Ulster County get lumped into, let's do what the other counties are doing, because we've always been very far ahead of the curve. We were fortunate enough to have Manager Green as one of the first recycling coordinators, and Emily Hauser. I mean, they've set the bar very high, so... you know, again, I wouldn't do it just because the other counties are doing it. I would see how this can fit into what Ulster County is doing.
Yeah, and I'm actually not, as I've said, but without going too deep into it right now, I'm not suggesting that we actually do flow control of regulated recyclables. I'm thinking ahead to what seems to be a problem looming on the horizon and just asking that we give the county every opportunity to handle the problem to the benefit of all communities. I can't imagine that we would do anything without reliving the flow control debate and discussion and evolution that took years to happen, but we're prohibited and we're singularly prohibited, so I want to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And I also think, but I think it begins with trying to get all the municipalities and the communities and the county to understand we're going to, as Mayor Noble so eloquently stated at the public hearing regarding single stream, that we are all, I mean, we're together in this. We're going to end up being together in it, whether we like it or not. So we need to start thinking, I think, as a countywide, where things are countywide issues. But I'm not trying to rush it, and I'm not suggesting we are doing flow control of regulated recyclables. I'm simply asking that we're not prohibited from doing it, but I'm more than willing to listen and want to get input from all the supervisors.
So today we just want to take no action. Does anybody else have anything
I'd like to
they
not
want to discuss
take,
about
we
it?
Don't
or?
Have to take, we don't have to do anything.
Not
just,
right now.
I'm recommending we
again,
take no action.
The State Assembly and Senate's not meeting until January.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the easiest thing. And then I'll take all this into both the other county's language and the specific language that we're looking to include.
Just no action.
And I'll go to the supervisors' meeting and get feedback. I'm sure get a lot of and we'll start from there. It's going to be a process. I'm very aware that
we don't want to put those transfer stations out of business.
Yeah, I'm not. No, I don't.
Okay, so we'll take no action and we'll move on to Resolution 279, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 19 of 2018, a local law amending Styrofoam law, to be held on Tuesday, August 7th, 2018, at 6:05 p.m. The chairman wanted me to let everybody know he did plan on being here tonight, but he got held up at work, so he obviously isn't able to be here. So, Tracy?
I have to move for a discussion?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I'll move for a discussion.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. So, I was surprised to see this, and the chairman didn't call me to discuss. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I have had no conversation with Legislator Ronk on the subject. I think without him here, again, we should take no action and hear what he has to say about it. I mean, if the committee wants to speak to the individual concerns, we could go through it, or we could wait to Ken until Ken is here, and it's really. I don't know, open the floor.
I'm comfortable voting on it today. There's nothing I'm going to hear that's going to have me think that this resolution has much merit and much necessity. That's where I'm at on it.
I think from time to time, particularly when something's new, it's good to take a periodic review and see how it's working and see if there were any unintended consequences. I think in light of that, I think it would be very beneficial to us is if maybe if we do table it or take no action at this meeting, to maybe invite some small business owners in like, for example, some vent some in the food industry and see how they've been impacted by this the last couple of years and see. And we can, you know, hear what their experience has been with it, whether it's pro or con, and some of the unintended circumstances that they found themselves in. So I would hope maybe we could invite some people in next month to sit down and chat with.
Yeah, what concerns me, I mean, I'd be more inclined to look at the actual numbers in terms of violations and applications for the hardships that were both accepted and denied, because I know those exist. We don't need to speak to it right now, but I know that information is on file. We know which, and there is a mechanism. Mary and I wrote a mechanism into it so that if a business or a not-for-profit is going to feel the hardship so extremely due to the very small nature of their business, they could apply for a hardship exemption, and I know some of those have been granted.
But what I'm concerned about
is cherry-picking individual businesses that are maybe frustrated but have been in compliance. I mean, there's growing pains. What in terms of the specifics of these amendments, the chain food service. I need to hear from Ken exactly what he's thinking. What the reasoning is for what he's proposing, and because he hasn't called me on any of them, and I know he spoke to you sort of
he
in
spoke
brief
to me, but yeah.
general terms, but I think we should hear from Ken what the specifics are. I definitely oppose some of these amendments, but I'm open to hearing from where they came.
So we have, is it Kentucky Fried Chicken and a couple of camps local Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ken can speak on that.
First of all, I know that, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken and all the chain stores are compliant with the law. So that's a good thing. We have about 16 seasonal children's camps in various places across the county. Of those 16, 8 are currently not compliant with the polystyrene ban. And we've begun an enforcement action Of those eight camps, four of them are owned by one operator, who I believe has been aggressively lobbying for this change. So I think that's kind of where it's coming from. To give you some background, those same eight camps were violated last year. We can say that we've had pretty good compliance. Listen, nothing's perfect. We don't have a styrofoam police, as you all know, but anyone who is regulated by the health department is relatively compliant. We have given exemptions based upon the parameters that are in the law, which we think are appropriate and have worked out really well. I know several businesses in Saugerties in particular came to us and they had the right information and we exempted them. I know that the camps that were violated last year, the way the law is currently written is it's basically after, it's a regressive fine that accumulates every day, right? Mm-hmm. And those eight camps had racked up a pretty substantial violation collectively. And in the end, at the end of the due process, we all have a hearing officer and we go through a hearing process with the health department. In the end, it was determined that, that we would have to prove every day that they had used polystyrene in their operation. So that large fine was whittled down to something more reasonable based upon the fact that we just can't physically send someone up to the worst thing every day. This is not possible. So, but with all these eight camps, in the stipulations that they signed, they had to pay a fine and agree to no longer use polystyrene. So they all signed that stipulation. They've all paid. And we had to make sure that they paid before they were issued operating permits for this season. Mm-hmm. So we issued the operating permits and then started checking. And immediately they started using the polystyrene foam. And we've been checking pretty routinely now. We've been up there several times since the camps opened. And that's really where the point of conflict is coming. We're working to enforce the law. We know that we've got a... basically, we're at this stage now. We've given them the formal notice. So we're nearing the stage where the fines are going to start accumulating every day. So... it's eight operators. Half of them are operated by one person.
Has anybody made complaints? Because it's somewhat complaint-based. Have we had anybody complain that they've gone to places that aren't
used? Oh, sure. It happens all the time. And then we go in and address it. And it tends to work out,
Jeff?
So the reason we banned this was because of the reality of this product and the leachability. I mean, I can't find a study. I mean, I can find a study on the other side of almost anything. I can't find anything out there that says the stuff is not toxic. So the idea that we're going to sit here and wait longer to talk about whether we're going to allow these kids, and I don't care if the camp wants these kids' food in this, I don't. That's why we have the law. If anything, the law, all these laws, regulatory laws when it comes to the environment, are meant to protect children first and foremost, everything we do, the children, the elderly.
But
the environment.
But in the meantime, though, but I mean, the law is still what it is.
Yeah.
With but whether I mean, we, you know, I whether mean, we hold off or not
yeah,
hold off.
We
have $300 million budget here, and we're playing politics. That's what this is. It's a couple. It's a guy that owns some camps that doesn't want to comply, and it's one person that owns Kentucky Fried Chicken, where we already know all around the country, Kentucky Fried Chicken has not had any issue complying. But I mean, this is a little frustrating.
Tracy.
Yeah. I try to. Don my Pollyanna hat every now and then. And I think, the health department and the executive staff should be commended because we have had amazing success. And, it's easy in light of a few complaints or a few outliers who are openly defying the law and not, not getting exempt, not exempt and not getting an exemption, but instead sign a paper and decide to defy the law, in light of that to feel, oh, okay, what do we do? How do we change this to serve just, maybe to serve just that, those eight. But the matter of fact is we've had remarkable success and we are a model for the state with our law. And I hear all the time from people who, especially living on the southern end of the county, people who don't realize they're in Orange County because there's a town like Pine Bush that's split between Orange and Ulster, and they go in and they say, call me up. I was in this restaurant and I got styrofoam, and they're just outraged. And it's in Orange County, and it's like how lucky that Ulster County has a department and a law that's protecting people, not just their health, but the environment, because the environmental effects of this is really, coming out of the Environment Committee when Mary and I drafted, really what moved it. There are financial implications, obviously. We heard from the RRA. The RRA was supportive of it because the very lightweight and bulky nature of it. But again, we're talking about single, you know, things that are designed to be thrown away after one use, and things that are toxic to people's health, to the environment, to aquatic wildlife. So, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine where I'll come around. And some of these amendments I don't really understand. I understand the challenges that, in talking to Ken, that enforcement has had with the language of fines are cumulative. But even if you delete that language, my best understanding of deleting that language, fines are still cumulative. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter whether the language is there or not. So I'm not really clear on any of this, but I'm willing to say, okay, let's hear from Ken. I mean, I'm less inclined to want to hear from individual outliers and reevaluate the whole legislation, but I am interested in hearing from Ken. I did my own research. I was very happy, and I think it's great that all the chain stores, which were the first to go into effect, are in compliance. When this came up, or the whispers of it, not the amendment, but the previous potential change, which was a deletion, came up, I called the certain chain stores in Albany County, which has this law in effect for chain stores, and all their chain stores are compliant. So all our chain stores are compliant too. I think we've had really remarkable success, and I'm grateful for it.
Manna?
I agree with Joe. My main question, Ken answered, how is it going? And it seems to me that it's going well, and if people are going to be outright non-compliant, I don't have sympathy for that. I would either vote to just put this aside and say that it's not broken, don't fix it, or I'm willing to set it aside, whatever everybody else wants to do. But I'm very clear about my...
Okay, Brian?
Well, I would hope we would take no action, but I would also hope that we would then afford the chairman a chance to come in and speak to the amendments that he proposed. He must have a reason for it. But it's interesting to say, and of course... polystyrene, environmentally, everyone's correct of how they're describing it. But we also need to keep in mind that every time we place a mail order from Amazon, every time we get an LCD TV, flat screen, every
That's
time we order
any
product, or the peanuts that go flying around their neighborhood. So we really haven't taken polystyrene out of Ulster County.
Okay? But we have taken
But we have taken out of food. But I also think it's wise to periodically, particularly in something new like this, to evaluate it and have a discussion how it's working. We'll consult with the exec's office, but also with the affected business owners. I think it's important to hear from that community, and I think I think that'd be beneficial to everyone. It may affirm everything that the sponsors of this resolution hoped for it, that it would do back in 2015. But, until we find out and hear from these folks, we'll never know for sure. So I think it's worthwhile hearing from these people.
I think.
Because they're the ones who deal with it every single day.
I think that's a nice premise in general and something that's hard to argue with. I will say that the chairman could have reached out to the... One of the two sponsors of the bill, and I do on its face. I mean, I got.
Well, he did make me aware he was putting it in, but
okay.
But
that's something.
Yeah.
But as far as I see, this is, and we can do this. We can check to we can look into the things that we're going to accomplish through, I guess, airing this legislation out, letting Ken come here and talk about it without it being this bill. This is, like I said, I'll just reiterate. This is one Kentucky Fried Chicken, from what I understand. And a camp, with mainly one owner of children's camps. So I just am struggling, and I'm one that usually likes to send things. This will be the first public hearing that I would vote no on, which is, I think everything deserves to go to a public hearing. It's rare that I don't. I just think this looks, smells, and in reality is – political in nature and something that is dead on arrival. And I think the only thing we're going to get if this continues any further is another public hearing with people coming out and reliving it, even though we now know that it's going to be... I mean, we were told that this was going to be very... Now, I wasn't here, but I remember. I mean, this was going to be a big... I mean, people were upset. This was going to be a big... I don't see why we're going to relive that again, especially when people I've talked to that were upset about it beforehand, business owners, are having no issue complying with it. So it's been a success. This is just a waste of time.
But and I honestly, I'm okay with whatever I even talked to my fire company and stuff, and they didn't really have an issue with it. So,
yep.
And fire companies, just as an example, I would suspect that if fire companies are doing fundraisers, which is kind of, he doesn't allude to fire companies because I think it is pushed on the as a basis of the camp, but would likely fall under the hardship exemption in terms of their monetary.
But I also think that if they're not following it, it's more of it. They're not aware of it more than not following it.
Yeah, that happens.
If I can just say for the record, so it's eight camps with five separate operators, and I believe the owner, it's all of the Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises. So every store in the county, I believe, is owned by one individual.
How many stores are there in the county?
There's many. It's not. Yeah. One. There's
a lot.
The entire county. Couple.
I don't know.
There's several. I know that. So
two or three.
I'm a fan of the chicken.
Okay, so
real quick, Ken, what are in that at that camp? What is the container or containers?
Do you know what they're putting
closable,
in?
Closable? Are they plates? What
they're
bowls.
Using? Bowls, cups.
Here's a.
And they can't find all
that. No, they can't. Again, this is a strictly a cost-based decision on their part. I've been through this court a while. Yeah. Because, you know, and if you recall, several months ago, the county controller had come to the legislature and asked for this consideration as well. And I've been dealing with this for a year and a half.
Yeah.
But it's and I can show you pictures. It's all of it's been all the food service.
And we do have a letter from this one camp. I'll just skip to the part where we're asking what they put in it. It says we serve hot soup, hot coffee and tea, and hot meals on a daily basis. Our attempts to provide an alternate to the foam plates, bowls, and cups have resulted in some of our campers experiencing light to medium burns. As a result, our medical staff has cautioned us and recommended that foam substitutes should not be used. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I don't think campers should be having hot coffee.
Says the child care provider.
And all in honesty, the pictures I can show you is, in addition to the standard cups and bowls, it's all plastic silverware, straws, single-use plastic tablecloths on every table. They literally just pick it up and throw it. It's the Pollyanna nightmare, Tracy.
Yeah, no, I'm trying
Tracy.
To stay positive. Brian, to your earlier comment about the packaging, when we, Mary will reflect, when we were working on this, we mulled through how could we include all polystyrene, and it became quickly apparent that we have no authority over, imported materials. But something that maybe this because that always comes up when there's a counter argument. It's always, well, look at all the packing material you're not capturing. And I think we could and should talk about a pilot program, which I looked into it in depth. There was a pilot program in a neighboring county where they, were accepting... Because that actually is recyclable because it's not dirty. It's pretty widely held that any food service item is not recyclable, period. But by all standards, it just once it's wet and dirty with food, it's done. But those things are very clean.
Yeah.
The problem that the neighboring county, which they didn't realize it was a problem until I ran the numbers with them, is that they were accepting through a pilot program this polystyrene foam and compressing it using a machine that was part of the pilot program and then storing it in anticipation of having enough volume to ship out a truck. But when they ran the numbers with me on the phone of how long it would take to fill a truck, it came to 17 months. I mean, some crazy long amount of time because it gets compressed to this tiny little thing that's not worth very much money. So while it's a grant program, it works because someone else is paying for it, but when it ultimately, we need to find ways, obviously, to cut our reliance on this stuff, but we're a consumer-based society that orders tons of things on Amazon, and I talked to a gentleman the other day who said he he was carrying a TV in, and he said, oh, I said, wow, that looks so light. And he said, yeah, I had four TVs, and they were all working, and they're so heavy, I threw them all away, and I got four of these. It's like, that's the society we're living in. So, you know, I don't know what the answer, but I think we in Ulster County should be very proud of this legislation because it is working, and any legislation, any law is going to have some people who have a harder time complying or who refuse to comply or who just don't think it applies to them. But on the whole, our businesses, our not-for-profits, our organizations have done an amazing job.
Well, but we don't know how it's impacted them necessarily.
And Laura, what do you think? Do you...
Well, I have seen some of the numbers. I mean, it is more expensive to buy other type of durable takeouts. Mm-hmm. I think one of the companies that you brought up is paying an extra $12,000 a year. So I think we go back to our discussion that we had over a year ago. Is it possible to put together a consortium so we can offer discounts for green materials you have to buy in?
Right.
So I think we have to offer them an alternative.
Except
I'm not a fan of styrofoam.
Which we could look into separately from this.
But the one exception, I think the exception you're talking about in terms of the increased cost, maybe, I could be wrong, maybe the chain, which is required to buy, I mean, franchises have to buy their material from, they're directed. They're not allowed to just go rogue and buy from anywhere. And the one thing that franchises have that other businesses don't is they all pretty much, I mean, point out an example of one, but I don't know one, all have experiences in markets that have this law in place in some capacity, and there are communities that only apply to chains, and there are places like California where most franchises have a presence, and the law is in place. And in some of those markets, they're required to use compostable, which was the one thing that when Mary and I began, that was in the original legislation, and in conversation with the businesses, because we weren't actively composting, and because we know that it ended up in garbages, and because the businesses said that's going to be prohibitively expensive, we removed that language. We were responsive. I mean, this is not something that happened
overnight. But also, I think businesses have to educate their staff. Because sometimes you go out to dinner and they bring you like six different container things that you don't need. Like Starway now charges you for their container.
Yeah,
Which is an option for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are ways around the increased cost that, you know.
And by Starway or anybody else.
Is Starway
it's a diner.
Diner
over there by the Thruway Shorties. By them passing that small price along to the consumer, it's one, making it neutral for them, the cost for them. Two, you're going to have people starting to show up with tupperware containers, which is what we want. Ultimately, we cannot continue to burn and bury. And I'm going to bring up, tonight I talked to you about it at length. Kathy, I talked to you about it. I think Laura as well. I brought it up at the RRA. But I was going to talk about this in a new business, and I will. But I think we need to start pushing the RRA to stop subsidizing garbage drop-off if we're ever going to deter the amount, and maybe a study about how, because from what I hear, we are not producing any less. In fact, I think we're producing more, which is a failure, because
more
they were
what?
Meant to
garbage.
Try to reduce the amount of drop-off. And if we're ever going to get carpenters to start pulling nails and reusing wood, or when we were at the RA and I pointed out the skis that were laying there, they should be in a, we have to pass that. It's the pocketbook and your wallet. It's the only way to deter, and this is a deterrent. It's not, and actually, and that's what I'm saying, that if these are the complaints, then this was a huge success. But we have to start deterring people from using and throwing away. I went to Dunkin' Donuts the other day and got a tea and got a bag with it, filled with stuff. I mean, we have to make it more expensive.
And again, that also goes back to companies and businesses training their employees to only give out the things that are necessary and not just,
but no matter how much we educate and talk about it, people are not going to stop unless we make it hurt. And then that'll actually create, it creates opportunities for business as well. Mm-hmm. I mean,
so what
do
we
start doing away with straws, bamboo? I mean, there's things out there.
So what do we want to do with this resolution?
Tracy, that's up to you.
I mean, it's up to Mary and I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I'll you know.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Ken should be able to, you know, he did intend to be here, and he wasn't not here by choice. So,
No action.
I have spoken with the legislative chairman about this, and I think we've covered a lot of his concerns. But and I'm aware that there are members of the public here today because they do not want this exemption passed.
Right.
With a lot of calls that I've received about in support, and I want to put on the record, if I may, that you know, as a pediatrician, the toxins that come from serving food, hot food in particular, in this type of item, is a much greater hazard. And certainly children should not have burns from their food. But there are ways to accomplish serving the food without giving them carcinogens or burns.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we need these camps to be leaders on this. A lot of the fast food stores have been leaders. They've really jumped in. So I would offer to go and speak with any or all of the directors of these camps. I'd like to make that offer to the legislative chairman. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a courtesy to him if the public can tolerate it to put it off and let him come and speak to it for himself. And I can appreciate people coming to these committee meetings to make sure that this is addressed in a way that they're happy with.
Right.
Yeah, I've received a lot of calls, and I'm grateful for the lead members coming out because, you know.
Is that why you're here today?
For
the gate? Good.
Oh, nice.
Good. So, all right, so we'll take no action.
Okay.
And give Ken a chance.
Yeah.
Too.
Just
okay.
Let me have the resolutions underneath the yellow copies.
Oh, okay.
You don't mind to come back?
No action.
Okay. So. Maybe we should do. You want to skip ahead to 310 and 316?
What was next?
Are you here for?
I'm here for the whole thing.
You're for the whole thing?
All resolutions.
All right, so it doesn't matter who you're going to be. Okay. So resolution 283, adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2018, a local law promoting the use of reusable bags and regulating the use of plastic carry out bags and recyclable paper carry out bags. I'll move
for
it?
Discussion.
Second.
Okay. Tracy?
So I was, as I hope everyone was really happy with the public hearing. I think we got a lot of good feedback, and I especially was happy to hear Jordan, who's been working with us, but just describe this as the legislation that would be the model for the state, and knowing that this is what the environmental groups across the state are advocating for, because I know there's other things out there. I was away until Sunday. I had a brief conversation with Ken Cornell about asking for a little more time on the enforcement date, the start date. So I'd like to. I'm going to meet with the executive on another issue tomorrow. So I'd like to talk to the executive about that, and then I'd like to move it this month, and I'd like to be prepared to make an amendment on the floor to amend the start date.
The effective date. You
the
mean?
Effective date. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. If that's amenable to the.
You're going to move it where?
On the. They would like more time.
The executive would like more time?
Yes.
For enforcement?
For education, really.
Because we're not really enforcing.
For education.
You know, the truth is, I think that, you know, I think it's cutting edge legislation.
It is.
But, you know, I've been troubled with this issue since we've begun talking about it with regard to people of very modest means that live in this county where we spend millions of dollars to support the food in their household. And I appreciate why you have the policy issues in you that you did with the per bag fee and whatnot. And again, I've spoken to many groups that are concerned about the issue of food. And again, without offering changes that would disrupt all the progress that you've made over the past year. I know that the best thing that we could do is to have a robust education process. I mean, the way that our process works, it's a budgetary process. I wouldn't be able to identify funds until January 1st. And the start date that you have right now doesn't give me any time. So So
start date is
April 22nd.
We had picked Earth Day.
So you don't want to vote on this today?
I want to vote on it.
Oh, okay.
No, I want to vote on it today, but I'm telling the committee that I want the committee to be aware that on the floor there may be an amendment to amend that start date.
Oh, okay.
The effective date. I want to move it.
I don't
but
want
to. That's what I'm going to meet with Mike tomorrow. And I want to.
Did you put any money into the poly the styrofoam ban as far as education goes or anything like that?
No, this resolution, not so much in terms of enforcement, but I think this resolution would benefit from some money being in the education, just in terms of things we talked about, handing out bags and, you know, a real educational initiative,
I think. But that doesn't have to be in the legislation.
No, it does not.
It can be in the budget.
No. Yes, exactly. But in terms of time, I'm saying that
you
that
may,
that
the time, may,
yeah, okay. The timeline.
People in this county don't know this is coming. They don't. And
no, they don't.
They don't. And while
you're hearing,
again, I we went through, we dealt with the businesses. We had, you know how hard we scrambled for compliance. And what was nice about the polystyrene ban is you did it in two phases. You did commercial, large chain for restaurants first, and then we did everybody else, and it gave us a chance.
We talked. We discussed that in this committee, and we unanimously did not want to. I was willing to compromise on that, but we unanimously, not just the committee, the 12 of us here, believed that the rollout would lead to confusion, and that
that's
it was
true.
Easier to begin.
Well, I'm
with
a business owner that is going to deal with this, and I am completely comfortable with what we have, and I've talked to so many different business owners in throughout Sorbetti's in the county. The box stores is where we're really going to save the most, and they are going to be ready to go. And we have built into the legislation a time period to work through the idea that you're not going to be able to get canvas bags or paper bags or anything else in there. I mean, WB Mason is very available. I think kicking the can down the road on this is.
I believe now is the time to pass the legislation. I'm just saying to the committee that the effective date may move.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the point I'm making. Again, I'm not trying to disrupt all the hard work the committee's put in there. I've watched all the debate and the deliberation. But I think Brian Waltman made a great point with the last resolution is that. You should be, people that are affected should be at the table, and nobody who represents the poor or deals with people of low income or the low income has been at this table. Amanda Lavelle, I sent her to Syracuse a month or so ago. She was invited to speak at a workshop about, all the things that we've done in Ulster County, and her comment back to me struck me so hard, which was, wow. I went to Syracuse to talk about environmental achievements, and it struck me how easy it is to get environmental things done in Ulster County, where people of more means and socio demographic are more interested in the topic. But in an inner city like Syracuse, how hard it is, and it just struck me the comment and.
Again, well, they're just trying to survive.
Again,
the extra stuff is not.
I think Trustee and I had a really good conversation about it. Again, I'm not trying. Again, I could have come up with, here's eight changes that would be great. And again, I don't want to disrupt all the good work that's been done. I just know that time would at least help me past, the issue I'm having with regard to the reality that there are people in this county struggling to put food on the table. A lot of people. And how do I figure out an outreach and do some outreach and try to mitigate that the best I can. Because the reality is people have to change behaviors. Mm-hmm. That's what this is all designed around. I get it. I bought in. But, again, that extra 6-7 months that I've suggested, I think would go a long way.
Joe?
The idea that somebody that's struggling can't remember a reusable canvas bag, ultimately, as we, through regulation, force people to be using reusable bags and containers, and no containers at all, you go to Aldi's and they'll give you a box there to put it in. I mean, anybody of any means can use that. Anybody of any means can remember a reusable canvas bag. Ultimately, this should lower the price of products a couple of cents, because ultimately, in a year or two, these box stores will I hope they pass that along. But we'll be saving money.
I mean, if I just respect, I don't think that box stores are going to reduce their prices.
That may be, but they won't.
I think they're going to pocket
this. They won't raise
money.
Them.
But it's not. It's the children. The parents need to change their behaviors. It's hard to do, and you know, 25 bags a month is a half a gallon of milk. You know what I mean? And to a lot of families in this county, half a gallon of milk a month is a lot of food.
Unless
but that's also why I think a lot of education needs to be in the schools.
Exactly. Again, I don't know what the plan is yet. Again, if the legislature deems to pass this, I know that, and it is enacted in the law, I know that it's not, again, if we're going to change the world here, 6 or 7 months doesn't disrupt what the legislature is trying to accomplish.
Brian?
Thank you, Mayor and Chairman. I have no doubt whatsoever that the business community will be hyper aware of the of this law, will be prepared to go out. Well, the awareness, I think we're going to need to be have it ultimately be successful is public awareness. And one thing we also need to take into account, I'm going to build a little bit on what Ken said. We have many not-for-profits and food banks that distribute food in Ulster County. How are they going to be impacted? Because while they're distributing food at no cost to their clients, they're not going to be charging those clients 5 cents a bag at the same time. So how it will be outreach to them, outreach to their clients. So if I think ultimately the goal here is not, while it'll be great to get it up and running on Earth Day in April of 2019, I think the long-term goal is to have it long-term successful, take the long view of it. And I would rely upon the executive's office and Ken here to say if they need more time to do this outreach to help make it a success, I think that's something we should really think about. And if maybe not 6 months, maybe whatever, but that to work out a reasonable time period, I think is something we should definitely consider. But I'm comfortable in voting on this tonight, moving this forward to the floor, and supporting it. But I think, again, to repeat myself, it's the public awareness that's going to make this ultimately successful. So that's the more time we can build in for that, the better off we'll all be.
Manna?
Yeah, most of the points that I was going to make have already been made, but I just want to say that the education starts when the bill is passed. You know, and I'm going to say when, clearly if the bill is passed, but this is a bill that was developed in a very bipartisan way, and you know, I just don't think we wait until January 1st to start doing the education and hope that that's good enough by Earth Day. I think we start doing the education. I've started to do the education everywhere I shop. I talk to the grocery store clerks.
They don't believe you sometimes, right? Some of mine have been not here. I'm like, yeah, here.
But you'd be surprised how many say, that's a great idea. Once they understand it. And I do think, you know, I especially agree that people, regardless of their circumstances, this is about, for all of us, retraining ourselves, learning new behavior. And you know what? I'm the one that forgot my tablet tonight. I did not effectively relearn that behavior. I rushed out of the house and it's sitting at home. But so you bet I'm going to be twice as careful. Twice as careful next time. But, you know, I do think that there's increasing awareness, and we've had in so many ways, we've set good examples. And I think this is another way. I just think we have to start the education really early, get the materials out, have the businesses be ready and be prepared to help their customers.
But I also think the way we named it also was on a positive note.
Yeah.
That is like an educational thing, because once you say ban, people
right
get a little whatever way they're going to be. But when you're saying you're doing something in a positive note, it's going to be easier for people to accept.
Yeah, I just want to say, I agree with Brian that I do think this is more about the public education, the businesses, more than the businesses. But I also just want to say one last thing, hopefully before we vote, is that I want to thank everybody at the table, and I'm certainly going to thank all the rest of the legislature. This has been really almost a singular experience for me, working through. I mean, we've had so many conversations, collaborative conversations at the table, listening to one another, working through all the issues and the details to get to this point. And you know, no one can do it alone in the legislature. We're a team, and so this is really, it's been an honor to work on this with all of you.
And I was very thankful. We had 13 legislators at the table.
Amazing.
I've never seen that many legislators, you know, sit around the table for one, like in a committee meeting.
Amazing.
To
yeah,
just
it was,
do
yeah,
so
it's
legislating.
Been, yeah, it's been great. It's been makes
impressive.
Me emotional.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was good.
So, thank you all. Thank you.
All right.
Laura must be really happy.
In terms of educating, I think that there should be a new role here for nonprofit organizations, not just nonprofit environmental organizations, but nonprofit organizations to help make this shift within the organizations, and maybe this could be with schools and churches as well, of making these bags available in the same way that we making non-single-use bags available, alternatives available, just in the same way that we strive to make food available. And as a part of a message about stewardship, mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do in this Ulster County, so it becomes an inviting into the
and
process.
And we have a partnership with a lot of groups, like Cornell Cooperative is totally...
Yeah. And if so, each of us, who have worked on this, will take the next step of making a commitment to reach out, and maybe mm-hmm. Tracy and some of this committee, I'd be willing to work on it, come up with a short little statement that says what it is that we're hoping that these organizations and groups will do, and make that part of what the legislature does
yeah.
to help with the implementation.
I might just add, Mary, it's a lot of work and a lot of process. Like, we're all going to have to be involved in mm-hmm. it now. But just do the math. I mean, so here we are. It's July. Let's say that you vote on this month. The county executive has 30 days to review it. Let's say he signs it, so then we're into September. Let's say that he vetoes it and you take up an override, then we're into October, November. We're smack in the middle of budget. And again, if we're going in this direction,
has the exec talked about vetoing this?
No, I'm just only.
I know. I just like, wait a minute.
I'm talking about veto. Listen, talking about the process. So
right.
We're in budget season, no matter what we.
Let's
do,
assume
right?
he does a veto.
Yeah, we're October, right? We're into October, and again, if this is the direction we're going, I'm going to propose funding, through the executive budget with the county executive to do a proper education campaign mm-hmm. because. Again, listen, the meeting with community groups is really nice, but we really have to have something. Your constituents do not know this is going on at the granular level. They don't. And again, I know that we've got to educate again. And again, my primary focus are people of modest means and their children who, again, who are going to feel the pain if their parents forget to bring their bag. Like your iPad tonight, right? So, again, I'm trying to figure out a way that we can at least, do a best effort to try to deal with that particular issue without disrupting all the work of the committee in the past 7 months or so. So.
Can we?
Yes, we can vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All against? Okay, it's unanimous.
Everybody.
Resolution 310, amending capital project number 488, installation of shoulders along Route 299, towns of New Paltz and Gardner, transportation improvement project, not on the state highway system, and amending the 2018-2023 capital improvement program and declaration of intent to serve as lead agency under CEQA, Department of Public Works, Highway and Bridges.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Tracy?
I've spoken on these shoulders multiple times, and I just want to say that this is a much needed and great project. I'm really happy that we're doing this. I'll reach out to the executive for thanking him for highlighting it. It's really critically important. There's been some serious accidents that were high profile, and it's a challenge. I feel like throughout the whole county, not just on county roads. State roads and town roads, we have more and more people utilizing the roads for exercise, biking and walking and baby carriages, and invariably you're driving and someone's on a bike, and just at that exact time someone's coming
someone
the other way
coming,
and you need to, it's a dangerous situation. So the fact that we can address this and that we're starting to take stock and address as they come up, I'm very grateful for, and I think will serve our communities in the very long haul. And so I support it all over the county wherever it's happening. Yeah, this happens to be.
The only comment I would add is that this particular section of road is a very difficult section to do shoulders on, but it's needed. That we've done a lot of work on traffic calming with signage.
It was huge with the four-way sign.
A lot of stuff. We put a stop sign on Butterville Road, and again, mm-hmm. done a lot of work. But this particular, again, the importance. This, when you talk to the community, is to know that this is a multi-year project. I believe there's close to 70 takings that we have to do with individual property owners to accomplish this. This is a multi-year effort to get this piece done, and we're working diligently on it. So there's no, it's not a quick fix. These are just the steps that we've got to follow, in particular with projects come off the transportation improvement plan.
And that just reminds me, I do want to, it will probably come through this committee in part, but I do want to, in terms of the properties that the county takes and puts up for auction, it just reminded me of that. I really think that there's a lot of things we need to codify in terms of the process, because I know we have an internal process, but it's not a codified policy, and I've talked to Bert about it some. But I do think that any property that we take that's that has road frontage, that we should reserve a little more of the right of way, just on the possibility that eventually we need to make a shoulder or we need to expand the road. It's just one piece of the pie, but when you have 70 properties right. that you need to work on, if three of them had been up for auction and went just as is, but need six extra feet
right
of way, I think it's a smart, just long-term policy change. Because in the ideal, we'd have shoulders countywide, you know, and roadside bike trails, but it's too big an undertaking. We hear all the time that we have we're the size of Rhode Island, and we have how many miles of roads, county and otherwise. So it's one little bit at a time, and I'm very glad that this is here.
Again, we've been doing a lot of it based upon data-driven. It's where the accidents are, and so I feel good about it. So
we should all feel good about it, for sure.
Any other discussion? I'll call them.
Other than maybe public, there's another aspect for public awareness, by both motorists and pedestrians.
Yeah.
Raising awareness of safety.
Yeah.
So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Okay, motion carried. Okay, resolution 316, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes agreement with the Bluestone Solar LLC for solar energy systems pursuant to real property tax section 487. Move it.
I need to get to the page. I'm sorry.
I just tried to find it. I was going over it.
I go with that question. Square.
If you go at the bottom,
yeah.
If you hit on page 115 of 127, it's the second from the right, the small squares at the very bottom of the page here. You hit the second one from the right, and that should bring you right to it.
We just need somebody to move it and second it for discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Section 487 of the real property tax law is a relatively new state law, built upon the idea that we're trying to expand renewable energy projects across the state. So they've exempted particular renewable energy projects, including solar, from residential and commercial real property taxation. Every taxing jurisdiction, city, town, village, school in the state is included automatically.
Automatically. Didn't we opt in to something like this a while ago?
No. So this, you're thinking of the sales tax.
The sales tax.
So this is real property. It's automatically exempted. And a municipality has the right to opt out. So there's only two municipalities that I'm aware of in Ulster County that have opted out. One is the town of Gardner, and one is the town of Shawnee.
Are you kidding? My two towns are the two towns that opted out?
They've opted out.
Gosh. So they're
more public awareness needed, I guess.
So Ulster County could bring a local law to opt out of this. But again, the idea is that we're encouraging the renewable systems and the growth in the county. Under this law, larger systems of 1 megabyte or larger there's an opportunity for the municipality to negotiate a 15-year pilot payment. So they're automatically exempt, but systems over 1 megabyte, you can negotiate a 15-year pilot.
Is that up to 15 years? Do we have discretion?
No.
It's set.
State law sets it at 15 years. They're automatically exempt for 15 years for the improvements of the system on the property. But again, on the larger systems, 1 megabyte over, we have the ability to negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes for these projects. When this first became effective through the Department of Finance, we held a training for all the municipalities in the county so they're aware of it. And I believe that's where maybe the couple of towns opted out after that educational process. So this one is a project, I believe it's Town of Ulster, where they sent the notices. Basically, the
Ruby, I think. Right?
Anybody who's, again, the larger projects have to send the local municipalities a notice that they're going to build a system. We then have a period of time to then negotiate a pilot payment.
If you didn't do a pilot payment, what would you do?
Nothing. You get nothing.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
I'm totally confused.
If this individual that has this pilot sells, does the pilot automatically transfer?
I believe yes.
Now, is that state-driven as well, or do we have discretion in areas like that where we can write out? Because I thought I saw something that almost looked like it was written a little differently, where we were choosing. Do we have any discretion whatsoever?
We can agree not to do a pilot.
And we just don't take the money?
Correct.
For example,
the school district in this case chose not to seek the pilot.
But what I'm asking is the pilot contract that we're signing on to this individual, is it cut and paste with no discretion, or are there things we are purchasing department or whatever?
So where there's discretion is the amount of the pilot. We use the NYSERDA guidelines. This is the first one we've done. So yeah. NYSERDA recommended $7,000 per megawatt. And this is a 2-megawatt deal, so it would be $14,000 in annual property taxes. Ours is a pro rata amount, and the town's a pro rata amount. So it's pro rata based about of your total piece of the taxation. So obviously the 67-68% would be the school district. In this case, the school did not follow through and participate in the pilot.
So,
Tracy?
Did the school do that knowingly, or did they just miss it?
Again, they got the same notice as we did. We did outreach, but we can't do the work for them.
So my other question is...
One of your colleagues in the legislature called me and was like, my God, you've got to go fix it for the schools. Unfortunately, we can't.
Right.
There's a notice time, and we have to act during that notice time. We provided the education to our municipal partners, and they didn't participate.
So my question is, if we... So this is a pilot whereby they're paying us instead of the taxes, but they
they wouldn't pay anything.
They wouldn't pay anything anyway,
correct.
Right? So it's
they wouldn't pay anything.
They're automatically exempt. So this is because it's a big system, they're automatically exempt from the increase in taxes, but because it's a big system, they allow for there to be a pilot instead
correct.
Of the exemption if it's allowed. So I guess my question
speak to the state legislature and their policy thinking. They're trying to encourage the development of these systems.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to opt out. Right? So
right.
The only real money, when you do the math, the only real money is on the larger systems.
Right.
Right? So instead of just blanket opting out, like a Shungum or Gardner did, this allows us to really do a pilot agreement with an operator and, you know, get the larger payments, you know what I'm saying, and mitigate kind of the loss of property taxes without opting out.
I have mixed feelings about it. I realize it's revenue, and so turning down revenue is tough, and maybe this revenue could go to buy multi-use bags, and you know, and then I feel better about it.
About $4,000.
Yeah, but still, that's something. But it's just, I mean, because the intent with the tax exemption is to really encourage these systems, but I'm guessing they're making much, much more money than this.
The larger systems are highly subsidized, and they're very profitable.
Okay.
Nana?
I would like to get some feedback from the solar industry. That's my, you know, this is the first I'm really understanding this, and you know, I know of one project, the project over...
I'm sorry.
Kathy, how are you?
Good. The project on the former city of Kingston landfill in the town of Kingston that had a tremendous problem because of the interconnection fee. And So I just, you know, it feels like we probably need to have a chance to think this through a little bit more. I agree with Tracy. It's, you know, we don't want to turn down revenue to offset important expenses in the county, but I'm kind of torn right now, and I don't know if there's any urgency.
Ken, is it time sensitive?
I believe that it is. I'd have to get some clarification.
And how time sensitive would it be? Would we have a month to go over it, or would it be that tight?
Again, it's very straightforward. I know it's the first one that we've seen. Again, these properties are automatically exempt under the state law. We have two choices. We can either opt out of the whole law and collect taxes on all the properties like Sean Gunn and Gerger did.
Which I definitely would not support.
Or yeah. we would take the option of having a pilot agreement with individual properties. Certainly it's the choice of this legislature whether you enter into a pilot on a project-specific basis. It's my understanding this is not a landfill project. I think this is a private property where they're putting in a large system. So
they're doing it regardless of whether pilots, in my opinion, are to get
good
something
projects
done that isn't getting done.
But this is a reverse pilot. They're paying us.
Yeah. Right, and they
you know
agreed
I mean?
To
like
this.
They're paying us.
So they're not saying
so
that the project doesn't go forward.
They have agreed.
So they're not saying the project doesn't go forward. If you do this pilot, I can't afford to do the project. So this is not like the example you use, Manna. This is the company, I believe this...
I would charge them per tree rather than per megawatt.
Well, they're all gone now.
again, it's board racing. Again, which this is the first deal we've done. I think it's the first thing that's been done in the county. And I know the town and...
Does that lock us in moving forward if we pass this?
No.
Again, it's case by case.
Case by case. We're using this based upon the standard NYSERDA guidelines they've put out with the law.
And just to reiterate, we have to go to 15 years. So we can opt out altogether. But if we do it, we have to go to 15 years,
yes.
And you weren't as clear on we have to have stipulated in the contract that they can switch ownership.
We'll check this.
Okay.
It's the first deal we've done, but I believe that any property tax exemption and pilot adheres to the property for the term of the property.
But we could, and I'm not suggesting we do, as I'm hearing you, we have the option to opt out entirely, like Gardner and Shungum. Regrettably, or we can maintain and negotiate pilots for the larger projects, or we could not opt out and not take any pilots. Just say, here we go, we're encouraging solar.
But again, these operators are
making money.
This is a negotiated agreement where everyone's agreed to it. So you said, you know what, I don't want to be part of it. I.e., the school district didn't follow. You didn't respond at any appropriate time.
Right.
They essentially left money on the table.
All right. So we'll call the vote.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
I know.
I got a feeling.
I'm sorry.
I'm yes.
Oh. Okay.
This still has to go through Ways and Means and to the floor.
It does.
We can talk about this in
caucus
and whatnot. Yeah. I'll pay.
I'm sorry, I missed the vote. I thought it was 5-0.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll be a yes pending
a yes.
Further information.
Laura, are you a yes?
Laura's not.
I'm not on your board.
I'm sorry.
I know.
See, you guys are here so much then.
That was a test,
right? She's so honest.
Appropriately, the Commissioner of Finance was involved in the negotiation for this pilot.
And I don't think there's
more information
to this.
Can you get more information on the company, too? Like, is this a...
Yeah, some more details.
One of those big that goes around to all these different...
Do you have much of a report for Finance?
One sentence.
Okay, good, because that lady's waiting, but I'll let you go first.
The Delaware company located in Santa Monica. I mean, that makes me a little...
Okay, so just to keep things moving, we're just going to really... Manna just has a really quick thing about Climate Smart Committee update, and then we will move forward with Amy. Sorry, Amy.
That's okay. This has been really interesting.
Oh, good.
I just want to say that in May we did a training, I think I mentioned this week, trained 45 people. In June we held a launch of the Green Business Challenge, We had 80 people attending and I think 16 vendors. And we did 6 case studies, everything from Ryan Insurance to Mohonk and Frost Valley, who did a wonderful presentation. So we now have 6 case studies that are, and they each received an award that was a certificate of appreciation as a green business leader, and including one of the people was videotaping the event. Kale from Evolving Media did a presentation, then he went back and videotaped the rest of it. And now we are getting calls. We got some good media coverage on this, and we got a call. Somebody heard about it on Mid-Hudson News, and we have a business out in Ellenville who's a fairly large food distributor that has big chillers. And so we're going to have to find out how to help that business, but they are very interested in taking the challenge. And then I heard that Mountain Brauhaus is one of the actions is getting rid of single-use plastic, reducing or eliminating single-use plastic, and they're getting an award this week for doing that. So we're going to ask them to be to take the challenge and really look at the rest of their business as well. So those are kind of the examples. I just think that this thing has taken a life of its own in the sense that it's really timely and it's going very well. A lot of the other things we talk about at the Climate Smart Committee are pretty detailed issues around solar and the value of distributed energy, VEDR, and all these other things. So I'm not going to dwell on that. People can read the minutes. But in terms of accomplishing, this is our second goal out of, I think, 8 goals, and we're making tremendous progress. I have down in the car a display we made around drawdown, and I'll bring that another time because I have another meeting I have to rush off to. Want to ask, do we actually have the letter that relates to what Amy's going to be talking about? Jay had prepared the letter. It's a memorializing letter with a background. And it was sent around for information, but
it's online. A version of it is online from March that over 100 or about 100 environmental groups signed on to. The text of the letter has been adapted for municipal use, but it's the same letter.
And I think Jay sent it
too. She did. She sent it to all of us.
She sent it to all of us. I just want to put Amy's new business into context. That what she's speaking about is a memorializing letter that has a background memo and then what it is we are asking DEC to consider in terms of air emissions. I wanted to set that context. And since I've talked to Amy about this, if it's okay, can I excuse myself because I have another meeting?
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, and thank you, Matt, for the updates and the great work. It's very exciting.
Let's try to see if this is.
We have to get together.
It's 7:20.
We have to get on our business.
Okay.
Do you want me to send it to everybody?
Is this the New York State oil and gas air emissions?
Yes. I want the center to potentially
take
the challenge.
So Amy is here, and she's patiently waited through our whole meeting to give us a little presentation tonight.
Okay.
So we'll let Amy have the floor.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to, so I guess nobody's read this.
What?
We have, but not in this context.
You did not. Okay.
I signed on, and so I read it quickly.
I'm happy to see all the other signatures, so I knew.
It's Friday.
And
And so the DEC is modifying their air and gas regulations, and currently the baseline that they're using are the EPA's guidelines, which are very lax. And I've been working with a couple of other people and some industry experts to put together this set of recommendations that are actually very specific and will reduce the amount of emissions that come out of oil and gas infrastructure, the compressor stations, the power plants, and down the line, you know, pigging stations and metering and valves. And I know that here in Ulster County, there is a proposal to put a power plant. And I just read a letter from them back to you, back to the county, and it said, oh, yes, we are, you know, we do very stringent air. We care about the air quality. We conform with the clean air standards. But I want you guys to understand that that's a little bit meaningless, because what the clean air standards do is they look at what's in the emissions regionally and over time. So it's like an average, and it doesn't deal with the toxicity of what's being emitted for what the people near these this infrastructure is being exposed to and breathing. So they look. So when you hear, you know, these companies say we you know comply with the clean air standards, that's irrelevant, because all this gas infrastructure emits a lot of toxins. There's recently a study done by the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project that looked at the 18 Title V compressor stations in New York. There's over 50 compressor stations in New York, and they looked at the 18 Title V, and just those emit over 5 million pounds of toxins a year. And those 5 million pounds, and then all the rest of the infrastructure emits even more. And those the toxins in that are known carcinogens. They things like benzene, formaldehyde, toluene, all these just a lot of toxins, and they impact cardio, pulmonary, have birth defects. We've known about what breathing this stuff does to you. So, the recommendations ask the DEC to include lowest achievable emissions rate. Right now, they do reasonably achievable emissions, and they're just not strong enough. The infrastructure vents the gas into the air, and a lot of the specifics control technology. So the recommendations have a list of specific control technologies, and they will reduce the amount that is emitted. And we're also asking for advanced notification of blowdowns. What the compressor stations do is they periodically emit. They use the gas to run the turbines, and then they also just vent it into the air to change the compression of the gas as they're pushing it through these pipelines. And then there's also valves that just let it go, and they're not even regulated, the valves, because they're non-combustion units. So, and in fact, there was a valve, there was a release in April of a valve near, I'm from North Salem, and there's a compressor station near us, and there's also
valve, and they were releasing gas from the valve, and you could smell it at the two schools, and they ended up, the school had to cancel recess and outdoor sports for 2 days, because, and people were saying, oh, well, the methane is lighter than air, but methane is lighter than air, but all the these other chemicals that are in it are not. When you look at the periodic chart and you see the weights of everything. So if you're smelling, and the company said, oh, well, yes, you're smelling mercaptan, and that's an odor that we put in. Well, if you're smelling the mercaptan, then you're breathing these toxins. So anyway, so it's just very important to ask the DEC to put in these more stringent regulations, and several counties have passed this in committee so far, and a bunch of towns have. I think it's 8 towns so far have, and we're now pushing it through. And so if any of your municipalities, we have this in a resolution form. It's the same recommendations. And Mana Jo has that, and I think, and so she could distribute that. And if you all would ask your towns to pass it, because the more towns and counties in the state that pass this, the more likely that they'll put these more stringent and more protective regulations in the revised regulations.
Do you have a sample resolution so we can bring it to our towns?
I will send it to you. I don't have it.
Great. If you send it to Fawn, then it can circulate to all of us.
Yep. All right. Send.
We're prohibited from right now from passing a resolution, but we can sign on to the letter. In the county, we can't pass a resolution.
Right, and I think Mana Jo. So I spoke to Mana Jo, and she has. I'd sent her a version as a memorializing letter.
Yep, but she sent it to all of us.
And that's
the
one that Jay sent down.
Yeah, we have it up.
Yep.
Has everyone's, who's signed on? Do you have the list?
This is the first time anybody mentioned it to me. So
Dave and Brian and I are the only ones that I've seen.
I didn't do reply.
You were away.
Yeah, I didn't do reply.
I think I
signed Dave,
it,
Kathy,
I didn't,
Brian,
I
me,
replied.
And Lynn.
I can have a copy tomorrow night that anybody else wants to sign it.
That would be great.
I signed it a couple hours ago.
I'd just like to add on to Amy's presentation, which is excellent. A lot of this material comes from the Southwest Pennsylvania Health Project. Dave Brown, a toxicologist, and a really wonderful team there that has been producing good educational materials for people. And I think highlighting the places where the general national guidelines don't actually protect local people is very important. That's been a large part of what his work has been about. These chemicals attach to small particulate matter, and then they're inhaled. And kids who are outside inhale a lot of it. One of the cases that I have been involved with, the kids were getting seizures from going outside, and their parents figured that out and kept them inside. But over time, they started still getting the seizures, even being kept indoors. And their neurologist gave the children an anti-seizure medication, which was stopping the seizures but not stopping their exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that family got air filters, high-level air filters, on the recommendation of the Southwest Pennsylvania group and my encouragement, and their kids got better, and we were encouraging them to move that compressor station under a negotiated settlement, completely redid its emissions and stopped emitting that stuff. So if they had been following guidelines like this, which they now are voluntarily in Pennsylvania,
right,
those kids would never have had that. So this type of regulation would protect kids near fracking infrastructure, and especially near fracking wells, which we don't have in New York State. But near oil and conventional oil and gas wells, these regulations would help as well.
Yeah.
So it's,
so there's
it's
many unreported cases too.
Yes,
because
people don't know.
Misdiagnosed.
That's right. Well, this neurologist said they had seizures, not environmental contamination, not environmental exposure.
Yeah.
So
thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry. Uh-huh.
So do we have any other new business?
I was going to just bring up that I think this would be the committee to talk about it, what everybody thinks about, I'll use the word pushing, but, insisting, pushing, talking to the RRA about raising rates. I don't know what you guys think about that. Kathy, I know you were interested at one point.
Yeah, I think that we need to think it through. I have thought that if we could somehow reward people who do good recycling, then we could maybe move to picking up plastic separate from glass and separate from metal, kind of make the at-the-curbside recycling effort look much more like the municipal...
Which would really be more like working with haulers to...
Mm-hmm. They would have to be involved in it as well. And one thought, Legislator Maloney brought up that we all just need to make less waste, which I think is, mm-hmm. is correct. One thought was, that people had to pay more if they created waste that was not recyclable, then that would help. And I think that there may be something in this idea. I'm concerned, though, because I mentioned it to somebody, and they said, then people just start throwing their recyclables out there.
That's the only
out on the streets like they used
I've ever
to.
Heard, which is insanity.
The garbage out
The amount of cameras that are out there these days, it's much harder to go and kind of do that kind of stuff. And if we're going to, and it's the same, you have an argument for everything when it comes to, if you do that, then I'm just going to, same thing with recycling. People say, if we're not going to commingle, then I'm just going to throw it in the trash. Okay, well, we better commingle. At some point, if we're thinking 50 and 60 years down the line or even further, I know it's easy to kind of stop at your grandkids, but if we're really thinking about the future and where we're going and the amount of trash we're preparing, we're years past us where we should have started raising the rates. We have to make
Some changes. We have to pass.
When you speak of rates for solid waste or rates for recyclables, what waste?
Solid waste.
Tracy?
Well, the city, I'll just say the city, when we went to a single stream in the city already took a $2 million increase in our tipping fees.
The more it hurts, the less you'll produce.
You say that, but that's not always the case.
It's unique in Kingston because they're... Well, it's included.
Municipal.
No, but it's included in there. For me, I'm paying directly. Is Kingston the only...
I'll defend Kingston on this one, though.
But is Kingston the only one that is included? Where is that?
Oh, City
Amherst. That's municipal.
Yeah.
Kingston does municipal pickup, too. New Paltz is a single hauler.
Yeah, but New Paltz is still individual pay.
Yeah.
In Kingston, it's just included in your taxes.
And it's not one single hauler. It's a route that you buy. You sell.
Whole town.
Yes, but there's different. I thought they were selling routes.
Tracy, sorry.
I hear both Joe and Kathy, and I think really the takeaway is that this is the committee where we need to start having this discussion again. We were working down that road, and I do think the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission ought to finish its report. And I'll do what I can to make the end of that happen. But beyond that, this is the committee where we have to have that conversation. This committee, we need to seat the Recycling Oversight Committee, and we should be talking about that. Let's put it on the agenda for next month. And I think we need to follow up. We had this Gus presentation, and we have all these ideas and plans, but every day that passes is a day behind us, and we know that the storm is coming. It's not the recycling is like one tiny piece of it. The closure of Seneca Meadows is that's real. That's gonna happen. So we have to address it. And Joe, to the point of making it hurt to reduce your garbage. So much of what we learned in the Recycling Oversight Committee, which is why so many of us on that committee were advocating for a whole system, is that when the system is yours, you're invested on not filling it with garbage. As a whole community, you are. It's not that you just raise the price at the corner. It's that everybody cares about not filling that landfill very quickly. Really, it happens quickly, and you see it in these systems that are working around the state. So this is maybe, and you and I have talked about it, the biggest thing that we'll do as legislators. This is the thing that we have to do that's going to have a long-lasting effect. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because this is the choir that's been here all along, but we've got to just actually do it. Like, we can't just keep having the conversation. Because I've had this conversation now for,
I don't know if you all got a chance to read. Tim had forwarded an article to us, and I'll be honest, I didn't read the whole thing. I read part of it. But it said, last month's announcement by County Waste that it is charging $120 a ton to accept paper, plastic, glass, and metal at its massive Albany recycling center.
They're raising it
sent a
to
shockwave
what they're
through
to get
some
rid
local
of it.
Government
they should.
Recycling
I was happy
programs.
That they made that decision. I'd right. like to do that across the board.
But that's recycling.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But I agree with the well. I mean, if it's costing. And,
no,
and
no.
we all know
for
that somebody's
paying. Probably but it's like they've got
this stuff away.
The deal is switch from single stream.
Some of
but
the stuff's not even getting recycled.
Laura?
I mean,
I
know. It's ridiculous.
See, and here's the kickback because, mm-hmm. you know, this is what
it's
I do. Now the towns are going to get more of this material in, so now it's falling back on the taxpayers to pay for materials that other people are generating. So it's a real tightrope walk when it comes to economic mm-hmm. and balancing it with the environmental. And when New Paul started its zero waste program, that we're a pay-as-you-throw system. Mm-hmm. So in some respects, you're correct. They should pay for what they're throwing out. Yeah. So if they don't want to recycle, and again, I really think we should be enforcing that
yeah,
law.
Yeah, we should be.
And it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, their law enforcement officer, code enforcement, is welcome to stay at the New Paul's transfer station as long as they want. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to let them write tickets. Yeah. But they're also paying that. So if they're getting rid of 5 bags of garbage, you're paying for 5 bags of garbage. Now, you're rewarded for recycling, and we offer composting. Mm-hmm. You're rewarded by only paying for 1 bag. So it's important that they are paying for what they're throwing out.
Yeah,
but then there's the other aspects of it, too. There's textile diversion, which is why I'm worried about the flow control on recycling. There's banning organics. That's a big one. And if we want to look at reducing what historically has always been 120,000 tons every year for years, then we have to look at other elements that can be pulled out of the waste stream. And we do have now in place opportunities for organics to go. And the unintended consequence in Vermont was that now they have 37% of the organics being donated to food pantries. So then now you're pulling in the element of social.
Yep.
So you're helping socially, economically, and environmentally.
Right.
But we have to take a real hard look at it.
That's one of the reports of the committee's new business that Dave Donaldson, Lynn Eckert, and myself as a delegation from the city of Kingston have written a letter and sent it to the chairman asking that the Recycling Oversight Committee be reinstated.
Mm-hmm. So, it needs to be, for sure. Yeah. We should take that. Can we put it on the agenda for next month,
yeah.
Mary? And we can circulate it again
yeah.
before and everyone will start thinking.
Yep. I mean,
but
at the very least,
yeah, so,
we should not be
I mean, on Laura's point, sorry, on Laura's point, I mean, I think you're right on the money. I think that long term, not in the immediate, and some of what I feel just in the reaction to the concept of amending our enabling legislation to allow for the possibility of flow control of recyclables is that there has historically been, I don't know what to call it, but a very, everybody gets their heels in the ground and thinks as an individual community. And again, I'm going back to the mayor, because when the mayor said, we're going to have to solve this problem altogether, I think that's right. Because I think in the economies of scale, when you're dealing with highs and lows, and okay, it goes bad, who's the place of last resort? When there's a law in place, it's going to be the county. The county's going to take
the
loss.
Towns.
Or the towns. And the only way it's ultimately going to work is for all of us to work together, and that means all the communities, all the municipalities, and the county as a whole, so that nobody's thinking individually like, oh, I want to make this on compost, because we're going to have to come up with a plan that encompasses everybody and thinks of how do we service everybody and how do we create less waste and how do we functionally recycle and how do we do this all together, because it honestly, long term, it's not going to work individually. People are going to feel the pinch. Towns are going to feel the pinch. We're going to, it's going to be like, I don't know, whatever, where everybody's running around with scrap metal to make their $3 or $50 or $5, and then when the market bottoms out, county take the metal, or, you know, it just, it's going to have to come down to an overall plan, which is complicated and expensive.
But
it's worth the investment. You and I have been working on this conceptually for how long? It's like,
that's what I mean. At some point, we have
we
got to
do it. Yeah, we got
and it. As a base right now, we have them using reserve money at the RRA to keep
to soften the blow.
I mean, that's crazy that we're burning through our reserves at the RRA.
Well, I gotta speak to that. For years, the RRA made money on the recycles that the single stream. Let me finish. That the single stream sent to the okay, and none of that money was put back into its education or put into other things. That if you want to look at the RRA, take a look at Onondaga at their RRA and how they function. So go to their website and see what they offer. Go to Tompkins County, look at their RRA and see what they offer. For years, the City of Kingston, it's used a lot that the City of Kingston is subsidized. But in this case, the City of Kingston paid our tipping fee for recycling, and that material was marketed on the open commodities market, and the RRA turned a profit, an additional profit on that material. And none of that, that was what those reserves are for, to soften and smooth out the rough edges when there's a spike or a dip in the market.
And
going back even forward to our solid waste, there's no way, shape, or form should it be insinuated anywhere that the City of Kingston is being subsidized by pay for
tipping fees.
I was talking about
the City of Kingston even necessarily there. They might be affected some, but Tracy just said this is the problem. Nothing gets done because we all start thinking about how it's going to affect our little area. And whether or not there was injustices years ago with how they spent their money, and I'm sure it wasn't. It
7 months ago, that, how they were spending their money. It's that recent.
That's fine. But that doesn't change the problem at hand, which is a big problem. This is global. This is something that
we have to deal with.
Go outside tomorrow and look
down
your street
and look at every
house in the entire county once a week gets rid of something this big. I mean, this can't continue. It is unsustainable. I'm sorry it's going to maybe hurt here or there, but the idea that we were burning through reserves right now to keep it easier for people to drop off trash,
but I tell you,
much of which is filled with things that are recyclable or reusable, is offensive, and we're way past doing it. We're just way past doing it. And I mean, I'm sorry that it wasn't done. Something wasn't done right a couple of months ago.
Worse.
Yeah,
they're
probably
there's
blame to go around. I think you're right that, you know, the RRA clearly has not spent the money it needs to spend on education, and the RRA clearly is not enforcing its own laws. Both of which had real impact, but
I have to leave to go to another meeting.
Okay.
So you can
We can talk about this forever, but I think
you can do whichever way you guys want.
This is important to get together two separately, maybe outside of. Or
I think this committee is the one to start making it happen. Yeah, we got to start really.
Anyway, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
A real quick side note: the Mount Academy won the New York State Environmental.
Yes, I know.
And they're going out to Idaho later this month to compete in a national competition. So.
Yeah. We usually give them after they
do. We have a motion to adjourn. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, let's make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Who moved it?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I second.
On favor, aye. Thank you, everyone.
Who's on first?
Turn off the recorder. Thank you, sir.